Welcome to the Blood Cancer Experience, a podcast series presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. This series connects people affected by blood cancers to their community with stories of hope, healing, and help.
Hi, and thanks for joining us today. I'm George Athens, your host for these ongoing podcasts presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. Today, our guest is Lindsay Thompson from Calgary. The topic for discussion is chronic myelomonocytic leukemia, or CMML, in its shorter form. Hi, Lindsay. Welcome to our podcast.
Thanks for having me, George. It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the type of cancer that you were originally diagnosed with?
I, at present, am now a retired registered nurse, a mother of two children. I was diagnosed in 2007 with CMML, chronic myelomonocytic leukemia, which at the time was a relatively new definition of a specific cancer. Prior to that, it had been caught up in some of the other groups. And at the time, the most common description of a patient of CMML was an African-American gentleman over the age of 65. So with me being diagnosed female Caucasian at 51, it maybe gave you an idea of how my path and journey was going to go.
Can you relate a little bit about your cancer journey or experience then after being diagnosed with CMML?
I bumped my elbow on the table at work. And like most leukemias, when they are diagnosed, it's a coincidental finding to an innocuous situation. I bumped my elbow at the table. A lot of people are just going for their annual, physical and blood work. And initially, the hematologist I was referred to hoped that it might have been an autoimmune process going on. But after about 8 weeks, I was sent for a bone marrow aspirate, and at that time was diagnosed with CMML. From there, I was referred to the Tom Baker Cancer Center here in Calgary, and I met with a hematologist involved in blood cancers. And at that point, my life changed forever.
Well, going back to when you were first diagnosed then, what information or support would you have liked to have at that time?
You know, in retrospect, I'm not sure. And, you know, even thinking of it, I am not sure. Because receiving that diagnosis is so overwhelming. We had no cancer diagnoses in my family. And it was just, where did this come from? And literally, the ground is taken out from under you when you're given this diagnosis. In my case, I had no symptoms prior to, as I say, bumping my elbow. And when I had an unusual amount of bruising and went to get some healthcare follow-up, they did the routine blood work and there was blasts in my blood. So I honestly don't know what extra support I could have had. Having said that though, I was a healthcare worker. So I had an amazing team of co-workers that were there for me. I was quite spoiled in that. In that circumstance.
So Lindsay, what did your doctor decide in terms of treatment? What was that process like?
You know, the original hematologist I met told me that because it was a chronic leukemia, he thought it would be, take some medication, great big horse pills, and then go into the watch and wait mode that happens with a lot of chronic leukemias. But when my husband and I went to the cancer center, again, it was shock number two. because we were advised that, we were going, transplant was being offered as soon as possible, if that was the road I was considering going down, because chronic myelomonocytic leukemia has a high incidence of converting to acute myelocytic leukemia. So it was shattering, that piece of news. You know, we hadn't expected anything like this. But given that I had a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old and a 19-year-old, the discussion didn't go very far. It was, I had to have a transplant. There was no other option other than crossing off the days on the calendar till, as we say, I popped my clogs. So we were on transplant mode right away. And that was at, that was about the middle of September. And I was then, had all sorts of blood work done and was on the waiting list for a donor. None of my family were eligible as donors. And so fortunately, there's a gentleman, a wonderful gentleman living in California that became my donor and saved my life because I converted to acute myelocytic leukemia at Christmas time. So that was from September to December.
So following the transplant then, was there any sort of side effects that you had after that procedure?
I actually have dealt with graft versus host disease from immediately post-transplant right up until today. Immediately there were the acute symptoms of graft versus host disease on my gut, my mouth, my skin. But later on I developed chronic issues with my lungs, and I've been on oxygen, many hospitalizations, but you know what, it was all part of that journey and it was what was needed to stay alive.
I wonder, I mean, these are some big challenges you faced. How did this whole thing change your life in any way?
Well, for one thing, I was never able to go back to work, and I absolutely loved my job. And so that really affected me from a mental health point of view, because I truly was one of those terrible A-type personalities, lived to enjoy my work and involved in the community and scout leader with my kids. And all of a sudden I couldn't do any of that. So it was a massive readjustment mentally to find a new way through life that still gave me positive feedback and allowed me to feel that I was contributing to my community, which is a really strong driver for me. And so because of that, I got into volunteer work, where I could use the knowledge I had from the healthcare system. I could use that to assist other people that were going through the leukemia crises that our family went through. And so a couple of years post-transplant, I was able to connect with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society here in Calgary and became one of their first connection volunteers.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm sure that's, well, it's not only good for you, it's certainly good for all of those people that are going through similar type of circumstances. What would you say to someone who has just been diagnosed with a blood cancer?
You're not alone. That this is a huge change in your life, but you're not alone. Other people have been through this, and although their journeys will always be different to yours, because everyone is individual in how they respond to whatever blood cancer they've been diagnosed with, whatever treatment they is eventually decided as the most appropriate for their disease and their stage in life. You're not alone. So reach out, find people to talk to, and they really will help you as you move forward.
So stay connected. And on that note, thanks for connecting with us today. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for sharing your blood cancer experience, Lindsay. It's much appreciated.
Well, I hope it helps some people. Again, the biggest thing is the reaching out, because people aren't alone. So thank you. Take care, everyone. Stay healthy.
Bye for now.
If listeners have any questions about this podcast or the subject discussed today, or need any support or resources to navigate your experience, I encourage you to connect with a community services lead in your region. For more information, visit bloodcancers.ca. If you liked our podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts. We also welcome any ideas for our program, so we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email with your suggestions or comments at info@bloodcancers.ca. Until next time, stay well and stay connected.
Thank you for listening to The Blood Cancer Experience, a series of podcasts presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. We are committed to supporting the blood cancer community through programs, services, and research. This podcast is presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada.